In a massively crowded sea of nonprofits, if you're looking for intel on an organization, or if you're an organization looking to be found, Charity Navigator is the online platform you need to take advantage of. You'll love hearing CEO Michael Thatcher talk about its evolution and how it facilitates intelligent giving on this episode of Making Our World Better.
Welcome to the Making Our World Better podcast, where you will find motivation and encouragement through lively conversations with inspirational people who every day are making our world a better place. Now, here's your host, Jay Clark.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Jay Clark, and I am geeking out today to have the chance to talk to a true star of the nonprofit world, Michael Thatcher, the CEO of Charity Navigator, the most influential charity evaluation guide that offers a holistic view of a charity's effectiveness and reliability beyond just finances. Can't wait to get into it. Charity Navigator provides insights to more than 200,000 charities that empowers intelligent giving for donors. Prior to joining Charity Navigator, Michael spent more than 15 years with Microsoft, the last 10 of which as their public sector chief technology officer, responsible for technology policy initiatives and engagements with governments and academic leaders in Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. Wow. Michael's eclectic background includes years at sea conducting oceanographic research with Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, composing music and dancing internationally as the co-founder and co-director of Dance Music Light. He sums up his career choices in life as follow your heart, use your head, and make a difference, which is awesome. Michael, thank you so much for being with me today. I can't wait to get into this conversation.
Oh, Jay, I'm really happy to be here. So thank you.
Well, let's just start kind of simple. And Charity Navigator's been around for about 20 years. And I'd love to hear how it's kind of started, and you've been there now a while, and really how it's grown and, you know, become such an icon in the nonprofit world.
Sure. And I think, you know, I love Charity Navigator's origin story, because a little over 20 years ago, there was a Pat Dugan, who was really an American dream story in that, you know, son of a plumber, grew up in Staten Island, worked, was in the Coast Guard, got a break, got to go to school, got into the pharmaceutical business, got into advertising, and then suddenly takes a company public, makes a ton of money. They're then, as just good people, Pat and Mary and his wife, they realize they want to start giving back, and they look around and they're like, well, how do we make choices amongst all the charities that are out there? Now, 25 years ago, there were at least half, probably less than half, the number of charities that we have today.
Yeah.
And they actually supported a couple of organizations that got involved in some high-level scandal. This was back in the early 2000s, late 90s. And that got Pat angry. And I said, we need something that looks like Morningstar in the financial sector.
Right.
But I want to do this in a way that doesn't have any potential or let's say perceived or real conflicts of interest. So founding principle was never charge the charity, never charge the donor for access to the information. So provide a free service. Originally, Pat wanted to publish what was going to be like quarterly phone books that would get sent out to the respective donors.
And wow.
Fortunately, there were a couple of people around him saying, Pat, there's this thing called the internet. Why don't we go there? And that was the origin of Charity Navigator. And they launched in 2002 with ratings on about 1,000 organizations, purely based on financial evaluations of the U.S. tax forms, the IRS Form 990. And they did this all manually. And I would say for the first 10 plus years, Charity Navigator was just manually entering data from the Form 990 into a database. I joined the organization in 2015. We were rating 8,000 charities at that time. And just right at that time is when the IRS took the made the Form 990 digitally consumable.
Yep.
So we flipped from doing the manual intake to doing a digital intake, and that plus I'd say my background in sort of scale and tech allowed us to go from 8,000 to 225,000 plus. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that's gone into it. I'm happy to get into, but
yeah,
ultimately the goal was to provide, to make informed giving easier for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make impactful giving easier for all, and for all means everyone. And so I think a founding principle, again, or let's say it's one of my core principles, is I don't care if you have $5 or $5 million to give away. I want you to have the best possible information on the most charities available in the U.S. You know, and clearly, given my background doing a lot of work overseas,
right,
I'd love for this to be international, but boy, we've got a long way to go.
Wow. I imagine that would be so cool to do it internationally and so needed. Yeah. But when you talk about evaluating a nonprofit, and we talk about kind of the impact and everything else, and usually, you know, that's just, it's just straight numbers, right? How does the tax return look? What's their ratio, their overhead ratio? But, you know, you guys now are looking well beyond that and really presenting a more fuller picture. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, that's what it's taken a while to get to impact. And I think everyone, mm-hmm. there's this belief that you can't get to impact. That's, you know, you can't do scale and impact. And we're trying to challenge that a little bit in the sense that, you know, we made our name looking at financial, you know, looking back at where did the money get spent, but not so much yeah. what the investment actually do. And unfortunately, I'd say the overhead has became such kind of a rule of thumb of you want to make sure the overhead ratio is not too. And I think overhead is sort of if it's really high, you want to ask questions about it. But ultimately, you want to know that every dollar you give is actually making a difference. And there, it's hard to. You can look at what, you know, what we're doing as from an impact assessment, or let me slow down a little bit and I'll say sort of yeah. what are we looking at with the rating today? Because mm-hmm. we did look at overhead for years.
Right.
It's still one metric in amongst 50 metrics where we just look wow. at, and it's not a controlling metric. It's not the most important metric, but it is something you want to know that a charity is financially stable, right? Mm-hmm. That they're going to be around next year. That they have the assets to do what they want to get done. You also want to know they have good leadership, right? And so we're looking at leadership and adaptability of an organization. And, you know, do you have a mission statement? Do you have a strategy? What are your means of executing mm-hmm. that strategy? Do you invest in your leaders? I mean, one of the realities of our world, and I think we've seen this over the last, you know, 5-6 years, things changed really fast, right? Yeah. COVID changed the world. AI is changing our world right now. Mm-hmm. How are you adapting to that? Or are you just trying to keep going, right? So we look at leadership and adaptability. We look at, there's another element, which is how are you, culture and community. And one way of assessing impact is actually asking the people that you're serving, did this help, right? And there are ways of doing this in a way that factor out biases, but constituent voice or beneficiary feedback is a super important way of actually the loop to know that the services provided actually made the difference. And so we look at something, it's called how we listen, which is basically looking at how a nonprofit incorporates feedback into their processes. Mm-hmm. We still have some financial metrics. We also want to know you have good governance. Do you have an independent board? Super important, right? Mm-hmm. Things can get a little weird if you don't have a board of directors, right? And if you have a board of directors that is too closely enmeshed in the organization. And so you want that independence. And then finally, impact. The way we're looking at impact today is through kind of two things. One is this, we're looking at a cost per outcome analysis for charities that are working within specific program areas where there's a known outcome, there's good academic literature that actually describes that outcome, and then the sort of average cost to get to that. We'll then look at, we'll factor in a counterfactual, which is basically saying, if there had been no intervention, what would have happened? And then from that, we can create an algorithm that does a comparative analysis of the different organizations to see who's more cost effective. So that's where we're assuming, you know, you've got the impact that's built in, or the, let's say the outcome, the known outcome. And then the cost effectiveness analysis basically says for X number of dollars, you get Y number of outcomes. And in this case, you're getting more outcomes, or, you know, at a same dollar amount. So that's going to be a higher rated organization.
Yeah.
The last piece, and this has just been added to the ratings as of April, and will go live in June, but it's looking at an organization's capacity for measuring impact. So in the same way I was talking before of, we want to know that you're listening to your constituents, and we're looking at your approaches to how you listen. We're going to do the same thing on how you actually self-assess your own impact. And so it's kind of a one step removed, if you think about it, because you know your business, right? If you're in the, you know it 1,000 times better than we do. But we want to know that you're taking stock and that you're actually thinking about the impact that you're making in whatever it is that you do as a charity. And so that's the, it's one step removed, because the actual direct impact on specific issues, you can get to it, but it's hard and it takes a long time.
Yeah.
And it's variable, right? Go back to this idea of the world is changing.
Right.
But we want to know that you have the mechanisms in place to self-evaluate and then do the course correction on your own.
Well, and it's staggering to think of doing that times 225,000. I mean, it's just remarkable, the treasure trove of information. But ultimately, what this does, and I'd love for you to explain a little more, is once you've done all this, this really now becomes a treasure trove for donors that want to make a difference in a space. They can use you guys to lead them to where they feel like they can make a difference. Correct.
That's the goal. So ultimately, our mission is to make impactful giving easier for all.
Yeah.
And so this will sound funny, but I don't care what you care about, but I care about helping you find the best organization that addresses the things you care about.
I love that.
And so we try to keep our own preference and bias about the different causes in the world out of the equation, but we want to help you find the best organization doing that. And ultimately reduce the complexity of choice. And needless to say, the website's evolved a lot over the years, but now we're really trying to be, you know, it's definitely a search engine, which will help you kind of, you know, search and filter and reduce things. And ultimately you've got an available market of about 1.6 million, and we're trying to get you down to two or three charities that can really, you can hone in on and make a difference by supporting them.
I mean, think of that. We were talking about that a little bit earlier before we started. 1.6 million organizations out there hunting for money. I mean, how do you even sift through that? If you, I want to help in education. Okay. How do you even sift through that? But you guys can help do that. And, you know, this is, you know, we talk about a high impact charity. And if you were talking to a nonprofit leader, what would be the advice you would give them to kind of point them in that direction?
I think it's a combination of, it's a get specific is probably what I'd reduce it to. Get specific about, as a donor, get specific about the difference you're looking to make. As a leader of an organization, get specific about the difference you are making in the world, right? And it's more and more important today for nonprofit leaders to articulate the difference they're making in the world and find ways to, one, differentiate themselves from others, but also be discoverable, right? If you, we mentioned OpenAI and AI in general, like large models and generative AI, predictive AI, but all these things are mechanisms, they're tools for discovery. Right? Mm-hmm. There's tools to help people find the things they're looking for in the world. And you want to be found. And you want to be known for the good that you're doing in the world not so much where you're spending your money. So you've got to start telling that story. And a platform like Charity Navigator lets you tell that story. There are other platforms that, you know, you want to get your information into the different platforms. I said earlier, it's free, right? And so be discovered.
Yeah. And again, we were talking about this earlier, an organization I was lucky to be with, Seeds of Hope, we consciously wanted to improve our Charity Navigator score because we knew it was important. We ended up at 100%, which got us a special recognition on the page. And suddenly we're getting donations from people all over the country who had never heard about us before, who we didn't even know. Yep. But again, we became discoverable because of Charity Navigator. So again, if you're a nonprofit leader, this is something you really want to hone in on, is how can I become, get more discoverable? And one thing I think is fascinating, and I'm sure all your tech is proprietary and everything else, but I loved it, a little glimpse under the hood and how you managed to decipher, organize, and collect all this information on 230,000 some charities.
So it's a combination of build, buy, and collect, I would say. So the ratings, as I mentioned, is kind of four key areas. And historically, Charity Navigator collected the information directly from the IRS. We get the data directly from the IRS. As a nonprofit, you're going to file your tax forms with the IRS. The IRS then processes them and releases them to the public. Mm-hmm. Well, we get them. So there's that's all of the financial and some of the governance and accountability information. We also have data contracts with GuideStar by Candid, where we're actually acquiring data from them, and that figures into the ratings. And so this is information that charities have supplied to Candid as part of either the SEALS program or additional information. And then we bring that in. The last part is essentially collecting directly from the organizations. And so it's voluntary. That requires, and this is important for the nonprofits that are listening to this right now. You have to give us the data.
Right.
We no longer just get it automatically. We get some of it automatically, either through the IRS or the data that you've given to Candid. But there's also the Charity Navigator portal where you have to supply additional information. And so it's that that completes a more robust and complete rating. And so that's it's imperative that that information be supplied by the organizations in order to really tell that bigger, broader story that you're really asking for now.
And again, I cannot encourage nonprofit leaders enough to take the time to go into your Charity Navigator profile and enter all this stuff and provide all this information, because it will help you and the results will knock your socks off just to become more discoverable.
And I think, Jay, to your point about, you know, the organization you were running before and the fact that you were on one of these lists, one of the ways that we help donors sort of reduce the choice overload is by creating lists. And guess what? You only get onto a list if you're a 3 or 4 star rated charity, and you've got a certain number of the beacons that are populated. And so it's the best way to be discovered is to get onto, you know, the lists are super helpful. They help donors, they help charities.
Well, one of the other things I really love about what you guys do is when something, you know, heaven forbid, a disaster strikes or there's a real crisis that pops up, you guys are able to kind of jump in and help direct people. So, you know, how do you decide and how do you evaluate, okay, we've got a disaster in this area, who should we point people to work with?
Sure. And so I think there are, you know, in terms of the way we set up lists on the site, we're calling the, let's say, the reactive disaster list, where to give now lists. And there are three primary criteria to get onto one of those lists. One is you have to be a 3 or 4 star rated charity. You have to have feet on the street doing something related to the event, whether it's a fire or an earthquake, a hurricane, a war. You know, you've got to have people that are actually engaged. And then also, if for some of the larger organizations, you have to have a dedicated fund. So it's got to be, you know, I can say I want this money going to the tornadoes in Oklahoma, for example, right? And that's because you have some of these mega charities where they're going to have resources all over the globe, actually. And so we want to be able to sort of help people sort of say this is going to open. And so those are the three for the disaster list. There are two other types of lists. One is best charities, and those are going to be much more refined in that they're really it's number of, you know, has to have a high rating, has to have a complete rating, right? So all elements submitted.
Right.
And then very much addressed, you know, focused on something like global poverty or some of the like very specific topic areas. And then the last is more of a numbers. It's the most popular. So what are the charities that get the most traffic from on the website or the most giving through our giving basket and things like that? And so three types of lists. And I think the disaster giving is something that everyone gets involved with at some point or another as a donor, because we have the things we care about and then something terrible happens in the world.
Yeah. And you want to help.
You want to help, and it's not an area that you necessarily have any help. Right.
I want to help. Where do I go? Who can I trust? And for you guys to provide that resource is awesome.
And one of the things, and I think people know this, and we hear about this a lot in the media, but unfortunately, when something bad happens in the world, there are a lot of predators out there.
Of course.
And you want to protect yourself from a scam.
Right.
So there are a couple of things these lists that we create definitely keep you away from the scams. The other thing is that we have on the website now, we have what we call our giving basket, which allows you to find an organization and then directly make a donation to that organization. And one of the sort of the secret attributes of the giving basket is that it won't let you give to a fake charity. It can only give to a legitimate organization. It may or may not be a highly rated organization, but it has to be real, right? It is a 501c3 nonprofit. And so that's a guarantee that we provide that'll keep you out of scams, because a lot of scams are, they're lookalike names.
I was going to say, they look good.
And it's a name that sounds familiar, but it might be spelled a little bit differently. I mean, it's typical spoofing and all of the internet stuff happens in other parts of our lives. Guess what? It's super prevalent in the nonprofit space because there's such an emotionality to giving.
Right.
And people put their guards down, and that's where things can happen.
Yeah, and what a great resource to have you guys do all that vetting. Again, going back to the intelligent giving, it's like if I go here and they've already vetted everybody, I know I'm safe in giving to them. Yep. So, you know, what really excites you and stimulates you for the future of Charity Navigator?
I think, so what's exciting me right now is the AI sort of revolution that we're going through,
right?
It excites in both good and bad ways, right? Exciting. Right. Doesn't say good or bad, but it's like there's some fear and there's also some anticipation of like really good things, because one of the things that's happening with a lot of the generative AI is that we're all this information that was previously hard to discover or hard to make sense of in like a cohesive narrative is now becoming more available to us and or accessible. And the other thing that, and this also goes to tell your story and tell it digitally, the digital footprint of our organizations across the world is becoming much more prevalent. So all these breadcrumbs that are out there, think about it, they actually come together now into an interesting cake or loaf or whatever you want to call it. But there's sense making that's happening now. And there's correlations between, I think we're going to get better at evaluation, and nonprofits are going to get better at execution. because there's more information now that actually helps me know if I'm making a difference in the world. And guess what? That's also going to be affecting donors' abilities to dedicate their dollars to more effective organizations. And if you push that all down, it makes the world a better place.
I love that. At the end of the day, that's what you guys are helping to do. And you know, like we're saying, adapt. You better learn to adapt. AI's here, like it or not. So adapt, because it's not going anywhere.
And I would, that's the other, I would say there's part of the, let's say the less positive side of excitement is that there's, you know, there's good and bad forces in the world that are using these.
Right.
And I think we've got to spend time to learn the new languages and keep up. And you can't stop it at this point. The idea of regulating and all of that, it's a bit too late for that right now. It's more a question of how can I make use of this? And how can I still keep going while we're going through what's a very loud hype cycle right now, right? In other words, it's loud, right? It's a loud.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's kind of like you have to keep your, whatever it is that you do, keep doing it, but then dedicate some time and resource to figuring out the new and how you can harness it to do more better.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm trying to be respectful of your time. I'd love to wind down with a few questions. One I always like to throw at people is, what's something you will read, listen to, or watch today?
So I'm in the middle of a book called Counterclockwise by Ellen Langer, which I'm getting a lot out of, which is really about bringing mindfulness to all that we do. And it's also looking at it within the aging process, because I'm no longer as young as I thought I was, and I want to stay young. So
other times undefeated, right?
Yep.
I love it. So can you point to somebody who's really been a role model for you in your career, your work with Charity Navigator?
You know, one of the motivating factors for my joining Charity Navigator was a woman I had spent a large part of my life with, and that was my late wife, Dominique Gabella. And she was an artist. She was an environmentalist. She was everything she did had some angle to making the world a better place. Mm-hmm. She had her skill as a choreographer and dancer, but she took on all these other things. And so that was someone that motivated me to really to do more and do more across a wide variety of things. It's a combination of her and my mom that told me I couldn't have my cake and eat it too. And that motivated me to sort of prove my mom wrong. So
that's such a great answer. So is there something, and this is a tough one, but I'll throw it at you anyways. Is there something that you can point to that you're most proud of at your time at Charity Navigator?
It's the transformation of the rating system, going from just looking at sort of financial and accountability metrics to looking at impact, looking at organizational health, and doing so at scale. Right, going from 8,000 to over 200,000.
Incredible.
And including impact ratings at scale, that to me was, that was huge.
It is huge, because I love it. It takes in so much more account than just accounting. I mean, and you know, as a nonprofit guy for 20 some years, I would always, you know, it always makes you cringe when you're just judged on your 990. Oh. So for you guys to take this another step is really, I think it's changed philanthropy, which is fantastic. And my last one, probably most importantly, you know, you talked about how Charity Navigator is a free service for nonprofits and donors. So you need support. How can people support you? How can they learn more? How can they become, you know, a friend of Charity Navigator?
Thank you for asking that. And I'll give you two answers to it. If you're with a nonprofit organization, go to charitynavigator.org/portal and get us your information and keep updating it on an annual basis. If you're a donor and someone either wanting to give to Charity Navigator or use Charity Navigator for your donations, go to charitynavigator.org and you know, search for charities, or you'll also find a donate button there if you want to support Charity Navigator directly yourself.
It's a great investment. We've got to make sure it keeps going. It's just such an incredible tool. I really hope that you can get the international thing going, because I know a lot of people that would love to give internationally, but there's, you know, how do you trust there? So I hope you get that going. Michael, I'm thrilled to be able to spend the time with you today. Thank you so very much.
Jay, thank you. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Michael for taking us behind the scenes of Charity Navigator, one of my most favorite websites ever. This podcast has been brought to you by JC Charity Services. Running a nonprofit is hard, and I'd love to help you thrive and bolster your team's effort by bringing more joy to your workplace. You can find me at makingourworldbetter.com. And make sure you visit charitynavigator.org and consider supporting their work, which helps both donors and nonprofits make the world better. Until next time, I hope you're inspired to go out and make our world better.